It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We meet a Ukrainian documentary photographer whose first solo exhibit captures the atrocities of war and the remarkable resilience of her fellow Ukrainians. It opens tomorrow, UW-Whitewater, with a local connection we'll learn about. As we discuss photography, call in with the question, share comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Eva Cedash's exhibit is titled The Wall, Witness to the War in Ukraine. Eva, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hello, thank you so much for your invitation. I'm happy to be here with you today.
Yes, you have family and friends in Ukraine who you hold dear, but you're in Wisconsin now. How are you doing more than 18 months since the war started?
That's a hard period, I would say, because I'm always worried much about my close ones who are staying now in Ukraine and have been staying in Ukraine all this time. Of course, I'm following all the news and I'm thinking about them, and I do hope that everything will be fine.
Can you tell us about your Wisconsin connection to this exhibit and a photographer you befriended that brings you here?
Sure. That is my wonderful friend now, Craig Schreiner. He found me on Facebook. He was following my news. I was publishing a lot of pictures on social media and on my website about the full-scale war. When it started, I chose to document the war in my country. I was traveling across Ukraine, publishing the new pictures from that, and that's how he found me. Now we are great friends, and I'm so happy to be here. That's my very first time I'm in Wisconsin, and this is my first solo exhibition. I just wanted to say the opening is today at 6 p.m.
Oh, today, yes, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really happy to be here, and I appreciate Craig's huge support to Ukraine and to everything what is happening now in my country.
Craig Schreiner was drawn to your photos of empty and destroyed buildings in Ukrainian villages. Can you tell us about what you focused on through your lens?
Sure. Mostly I'm focusing on civilians, on locals who have stayed in their villages, who have survived Russian occupation. For me, this was very important to understand why they have stayed, how they managed to survive. Because for me, this war, which is still happening in Ukraine, is like about everything. It's about not only death, it's also about life. It's about how people survive this difficult period, how they protect each other. So I wanted to focus on humans who are having like tough time, and how they manage to still do whatever they are doing to help each other, to show the kindness of people that they produce every day in spite of all horrible events that are going on.
I imagine it was difficult for you to sift through all the photos you have taken of the war and to figure out what to put through in this exhibit. Is there a photo from the exhibit you'd like to describe?
Thank you for this question. Actually, the exhibition and pictures on the exhibition, it is called The Wall. And this is the project which I did mostly like in artistic approach. That's the walls of residential buildings burned by Russian shellings across Ukraine. And most of my work is done in like more documentary style and way. But I also wanted to express what I feel inside. I wanted to tell the story about war, like with another approach. And this is kind of like artistic way, and the way I feel and the way I see what I'm witnessing in my country. So this is more like artistic pictures, which also document what have happened in Ukraine, but a little bit in another way.
We're talking with Ukrainian photographer Iva Sidash, who has been covering Russia's invasion of Ukraine and has her first solo exhibit opening today at UW-Whitewater's Art Gallery. You can join in the conversation about war photography. Call in with the question, your comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Iva, you document the lives of people who stayed and have survived the occupation in Ukraine. What do you learn from the people you meet and photograph?
I would say that I learned that people with this war have showed like their inside, their inner world. They showed how strong they can be in spite of everything, and that they can overcome everything. Because living next to the front lines, living in occupied villages, that's some experience most people have never experienced, yes. But they have this, they want to talk, and they want to the world know the truth and what is going on. That's why I chose this subject. I chose to talk to people, to photograph them, because they want to be heard. They have so much to tell. That's just what I need to do, just to listen to them and to tell the stories further.
How do you know when it is the right moment to take a photo of a person who is in a very traumatic situation? How do you establish a bond and then know when it's okay to photograph?
I'm trying to be very careful with people I'm photographing, especially in war time, because they are indeed very vulnerable. They are very emotional, and I don't want to hurt them. I want to help them. And in order to feel I'm doing the right thing, for me, it's very important to establish the contact with them, to get their trust so that they understand my intentions. After that, they started to be much more open to me and to the camera. So the pictures become also more open and more honest. And for me, that's very important to have this connection in order to realize that I'm doing something to help them. And I think they feel this, and that helps to make the real story how it is.
In some ways, they'll never be a stranger to you again because you have those images and you have those stories when you met them.
Definitely, definitely. I would say this is what distinguishes Ukrainian photojournalists and foreign photojournalists. We are living their life. We understand what they have gone through, and we are like staying there, and we are in the same situation. And that's, I think, also people understand, and they trust us to tell their stories because they know we feel the same way.
You've experienced rocket attacks while documenting the war. How do you try to stay safe?
When you are documenting war and when you're going next to the front lines, of course, it's very important to I would say to be responsible where you are, what you're doing. Usually you have a team, yes, so you're responsible for each other and for yourself. Of course, it's important to know the basic stuff, how to help people in different situations. So we had a lot of trainings before. We have all the equipment needed. I think it's very important to feel the responsibility and to do whatever you want to whatever you can to stay safe in spite of all this rocket attacks, all this shellings. So of course it's important to be aware of the risk you are taking and to understand how you can avoid some of the situations and what you can do to help others in case of anything.
Iva, we heard from Jack in Madison, who called in and wonders, what can we learn from Ukrainians? What would you tell Jack?
I would say that Ukrainians became very united, and they became very supportive to each other. All this kindness that they were showing from the very first days of full-scale war until today show that whatever is happening in the life, you still can choose the way to be human and to do something to help the others. And I think this feeling of community, which we have a really strong one now, is very powerful. And that's what helps to overcome and to stay strong in spite of all the situations which are happening.
So seeing the humanity in people, seeing, finding community and helping others are big takeaways for you.
Exactly. Yes, I appreciate how people do this, and that's what I also want to do. And I also have learned a lot of those people who were in great need and in great danger, but still they decided to stay humans and to do something important.
Eva, thank you for joining us and sharing your work.
Thank you so much for your invitation.
Eva Sidash is a Ukrainian documentary photographer covering the ongoing Russian invasion of Ukraine, and her exhibit called The Wall will be on display at Roberta's Art Gallery at UW-Whitewater until October 20th. And you can view Eva Sidash's work on her website. We have a link at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What a pleasure to be in conversation with public radio veteran Jeremy Hobson and welcome his weekly live call-in program to the Ideas Network lineup. It's called The Middle. It premieres Thursday evening at 8. Join the discussion at any point with a question. Share your comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas@wpr.org. Jeremy Hobson is host and executive producer of The Middle. Jeremy, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, good morning. It's great to be here.
Good morning. So The Middle, seeking to highlight voices from the center, what is unique about the perspective of The Middle?
Well, you know, I don't think that there's anything else in our media right now that specifically, that specifically focuses on bringing those voices forward. And whether that is the geographic middle, where listeners in Wisconsin are, people in Michigan, people in my home state of Illinois, whether that is the political middle, which is also extremely important in our politics, but not very often listened to by the media. These are very important voices. And I think that this is.
Oh, Jeremy, can you hear us? I think we just lost our connection with Jeremy Hobson, host and executive producer of The Middle, which is a live call-in radio show that will begin airing on Thursdays. Oh, Jeremy, are you there?
I'm still here, yes. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay. Well, you know, we get that term flyover country. But I do think, you know, Wisconsin, with our battleground state, with our political dynamics, it feels like we do attract some national intrigue with other swing states, even those around us like Minnesota, Michigan. Is there something to that?
Look, I think, you know, as I was listening just a moment ago to your fundraiser and I heard that voice, Sarah in Wausau, that is an important voice in our national politics that is not part of the national conversation right now. Mm-hmm. You do not hear from people generally on the news day after day who are in Wisconsin, who are in Michigan, who are in Minnesota, who are in other important swing states in the Midwest, who do decide a lot of who is in power in this country and what gets done. That's what I'm trying to bring forward with The Middle.
And political scientists say that American politics has grown increasingly polarized. Pew Research Center surveys find that the, you know, majorities of people on each side of the political divide are increasingly hostile to the other side. Is there much of a middle left in our country?
I think there is, and I think you need not look back further than what just happened recently with the debt ceiling debate. You had the Congress deciding whether to raise the nation's debt ceiling so that we didn't default on the debt. Who voted against that? the far right and the far left? Who pushed it through so that we actually didn't default on the debt? The broad middle. And so I think there is a middle, and the middle is extremely important in getting things done in this country, and we don't pay near enough attention.
So how do you do this work? How will you try to bring in those neglected voices to the conversation?
I think part of it is about being welcoming to those voices, saying we want to hear from you. We want to have a civil discussion where all views are welcome. And that's what we did in our pilot episodes last year. And we were getting 200 calls an hour into a show that was airing, as this one is, at 9 p.m. Eastern time, a time that is not the, you know, it's not drive time like this in public radio when there are tons and tons of people listening. And yet we were getting so many calls because I think there was a hunger from people to be heard, to be part of that conversation. And the calls we did get were exactly the kinds of calls that we were looking for. People in the geographic middle, people in the political middle, people in the philosophical middle, or people that just wanted to meet in the middle to try to find solutions to the issues that we face.
So what is your plan for responding to people with extreme views who do want to participate in the show?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good question. And I will say that I have a couple of excellent call screeners that are going to, you know, make sure that the calls that we get through are people that really want to have a discussion. Look, I don't want to say we're not going to allow this view or that view. I will say we're going to keep things factual. I'm not going to have, you know, people on the show that are going to lie. I'm not going to have the people on the show that are going to say things that just are not true. But, you know, we're taking a risk. It's a live call-in show. There are going to be people that call in that may, you know, go down a road that we don't want to go down. And we'll either end that call or, you know, if something is said that's incorrect, of course, we're going to come back and say that was incorrect. But I think that there is a reward for that risk. It's worth it to allow people to be part of that conversation in a way that, by the way, there is no other national call-in show on public radio right now that takes live calls. There hasn't been one really since Talk of the Nation ended in 2013. So this is going to be a unique piece of public media as well.
Jeremy Hobson with us, host and executive producer of The Middle. This is the live call-in radio program that will begin airing Thursdays on the Ideas Network starting this Thursday. You can join the conversation. Call in with a question. 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Jeremy, how will you select the topics, select the guests you discuss? What type of approach will you take there?
Look, I want to hear from people about the topics that we should discuss, and you can go to our website, listentothemiddle.com, and reach out if you have an idea. I will say that this week, our first topic, just to kind of set the table for the show, is going to be in a divided country, how do you talk to people that you disagree with? And we're going to have two excellent guests, the former governor of Illinois, Jim Edgar, a moderate Republican who had to work across the aisle quite a lot, and an expert in conflict and dispute resolution from Northwestern University is going to be with us as well as we get through that. The following week, we're going to be talking about how inflation is affecting people's personal economies, how high interest rates are affecting you. So we're going to hear from people on that. We're going to get to, you know, what people believe about the U.S. involvement in the war in Ukraine. But I'm really open to different ideas that people have and things that we ought to hear from the middle on this program.
In Wisconsin, being part of the Midwest and home to our share of political extremism through history, including the John Birch Society, including U.S. Senator Joseph McCarthy, why lump the geographic center in with the political center?
Look, I think that this is when we did our show a year ago, we did four pilot episodes around the 2022 midterms. And the idea at the beginning of that was geographic middle. The middle is the geographic middle. Mm-hmm. And let's bring those voices in. But what we found is that when people heard the middle, they thought, oh, I thought you meant the political middle. I thought you meant the philosophical middle. I thought you meant the middle class. And as we've grown the program, this show is going to be on not just across the middle of the country. It's going to be on the coast, in the big coastal cities, Boston, Philadelphia, Los Angeles. They're going to be hearing this program on their stations. And so I think what we decided is the middle is what you want the middle to mean. And the middle, all of these people, whether they're geographic middle, political middle, middle class, they're all important voices that should be part of the national conversation.
Well, let's bring on a call now. Jack joining us from Madison. Jack, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. First of all, I just wanted to say, you know, thank you for putting out another talk show like this. I think I should say that when I tried calling into some of the other national programs for news in recent months, I felt like I mean, obviously they can't take everyone who calls into it, but at the same time, like the format wasn't particularly conducive to taking on other callers, you know, from across the country. And so I think this is a phenomenal way to get more people to call into talk radio. You know, I'm already appreciative of the morning show for giving us this type of format here in Wisconsin. But yeah, I guess my question for your caller is, I guess, why this show, why now, and why everything else you're doing, even with it already being as good an idea as it is?
Jack, thank you. Jeremy, go ahead.
Jack, that was a great question. Thank you so much. I think why now? I don't think that there's ever been a moment more in this country when we need to actually talk to and listen to each other. I don't think that when you have the division that we have and the polarization in our media, there's no time when you would say, you know what, to solve this division, why don't you just go back into your corners and not talk to or listen to each other? I think it's really important that we do that. I think it's important that people on the coasts hear from people in the middle of the country, not just people in Iowa a week before the Iowa caucuses every 4 years, but people all the time. These are important voices, as you know, as people in Wisconsin know, as people in my home state of Illinois know, we're important voices that should be part of the conversation all the time and really aren't right now.
And then two part there with Jack, if you could peel back the curtain a bit on production, how will you prioritize callers or how will you work them into the show?
So we're going to try to get to about 10 calls in the course of the hour, maybe 12 if we can, but 10 calls in the course of the hour. We're going to have two panel guests on every show. I also, because it's in the evening, live in the evening, we're doing it kind of in the style of a late night talk show. So I have a DJ sidekick with me, a guy named Tolliver, born and raised on the south side of Chicago, a funk musician, really great guy who will be there along with us playing music into the breaks, but also participating in the conversation to some degree. And the caller, you know, I will go through call after call after call, and then we'll sort of have a discussion with our panel and with Tolliver throughout the program. That's the plan. In terms of prioritizing callers, you know, I'm going to be hosting the program. I've got to rely on my call screeners to kind of let me know, you know, go to this one. This one's a great one. You know, go to this one. I think there's something like 10 or 11 lines that are open at one time. So I'll have some choice, but it'll be interesting to see, especially on Thursday, how it goes and who gets on the air.
And Jeremy, before we have to let you go, give a shout out to where this program is coming from.
Yeah, so the program is coming out of my hometown of Urbana, Illinois, just a couple hours south of the Wisconsin border. You know, it's a college town. It's where the University of Illinois is. And it's the station where I got my start in radio when I was, get this, 9 years old, hosting a show called Treehouse Radio on the local public radio station. So I know it very well. And it's really nice to come full circle like that.
Oh, Jeremy, all the best. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. And by the way, I'm really glad that we had that little technical glitch right now, because maybe that's good karma for Thursday and the first show that we do.
Absolutely. Jeremy Hobson, host and executive producer of The Middle, live call-in radio show that will air Thursday evenings at 8, launching this week here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.